Right, save some time. Anybody who's got the Bibles, turn to Exodus 13. Right, this is going to be a speed sermon because it's already home time.
It's chocolate ball.
Yeah, well, keep quiet and it'll be quicker. No, you might need to answer some of these questions. Put that first PowerPoint on, please, Stuart. I hate technology. I can see a mouse. It's doing stuff. The mouse is in a cloud, yeah. It's actually an arrow shaped. It's an arrow shaped hole in a black cloud. Anyway, I'll carry on while it gets that up. What I'm going to talk about tonight is very briefly is the cloud of promise. Right, you might have an idea what the story is for this evening, but there's many types of different clouds, as we've already established tonight, haven't we? Before the storm comes, usually you see the black clouds coming over, don't you? What they call the rain clouds. Now, have you ever tried to spot shapes or pictures in clouds?
Yeah.
That could have been quite a good quiz. See what pictures you could spot. We've probably all done that, haven't we? This one, the one that can get it on, actually looks like a heart. The cloud is shaped as a heart. And it's going to be called the cloud of promise. We're going to look at five times in the Bible where a cloud or clouds are significant. Right, and to save some time, you might not get these up or not. That's PowerPoint 1, look, well done. That's what I would consider a cloud of promise might look like. It looks like a love heart, doesn't it? So, obviously God's showing his love in his cloud for us. So, a cloud of promise. Put the next one up, please. Right, does anybody know what that story is? Pretty self-explanatory. We've had it tonight. The Israelites following the cloud of fire. To save some time, we'll not look these scriptures up, and I'll just concentrate on them ones because you know what these are. But that was in Exodus 13:21, and God said to his people that he would send a cloud by day and fire by night for them to follow. That's quite a significant cloud story in the Bible. The next PowerPoint, please. Does anybody know what's happening here? No, but it's God's glory appearing in a cloud. That's a bit as good as I could picture that. And that's from Exodus 16, verse 10. If anybody wants these scriptures afterwards, they can have them. The next one, please, Stuart. What's happening there? Yeah, well, sort of, tabernacle. It's the glory of God coming down in a cloud on the tabernacle and staying above the tabernacle. And that was in Exodus 40, verse 34. Now, the next one, please, Stuart. What's going off there? It's the same type of thing. It's the glory of God coming down on Mount Sinai. That's a mountain, really. But just put the next one on, please, Stuart, and then it'll be a bit more apparent. That is actually Mount Sinai with a cloud coming down on it. So, daytime. And then the one where I like best, this is my favourite one. Put the next one on, please, Stuart. That's where I can imagine it looked like at night when the glory of God was on the mountain, you know, like as though an eruption was going to happen, as though something was going to happen. And that's from Exodus 24, verse 15 and 16. And it talks about a cloud coming down on the mountain, consuming the mountain. If anyone wants them scriptures, I'll give them you later. So you can see from that God often appears in clouds because man could never actually look at God. If God came in the flesh, we'd all die. We couldn't look at him. So he comes down shielded in clouds sometimes. The one that I'd like to talk about tonight, though, is from 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 41 to 45. I'm just going to read you this one. This is the cloud of, what I've called the cloud of promise. Then Elijah said to Ahab, "Go up and eat and drink, for there is a sound of abundance of rain." So Ahab went up and ate and drank, and Elijah went up to the top of Carmel. Then he bowed down on the ground and put his face between his knees and said to his servant, "Go up now, look towards the sea." So he went up and looked and said, "There is nothing." And seven times he said, "Go again." Then it came to pass on the seventh time that he said, "There is a cloud as small as a man's hand rising out of the sea." So he said, "Go up, say to Ahab, prepare your chariot, go down before the rain stops you." Now it happened in the meantime that the sky became black with cloud and wind, and there was heavy rain. So Ahab rode away and went to Jezreel. So, put the next PowerPoint on, please, Stuart. A cloud the size of a man's hand. I don't know if you've ever done this, but if you held your hand up and that looked how big your hand was, how big would the cloud be that you could cover? It would depend how far it was away, wouldn't it? Yeah, exactly. If it was tiny, you could probably cover it with your little finger if it was a long way in the distance. If it's quite close, you couldn't cover it at all. It would look like nothing. But this cloud is described as one the size of a man's hand if he was holding his hand up. So I don't know how far that would be away. Just for a recap on the story, before we say why I think that this story is relevant to our lives still today, I want us to have a look at a few things. First one is in 1 Kings 17, verse 1. You don't have to turn to these because they're all one or two verses. And it says there, "And Elijah the Tishbite, the inhabitants of Gilead, said to Ahab, 'As the Lord God of Israel lives, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, except by my word.'" So that's what God promised. Ahab had been a bad king of Israel. Because of it, as you know, God promised that while ever they served him and did what they should do, he promised rain, he promised sun, and he promised harvest. And God withdrew not only the rain, but the dew. So that's the first thing. 1 Kings 17, verse 1. Both of those were essential for crops, weren't they? The next one is 1 Kings 18 and verse 1. "And it came to pass that after many days that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year, saying, 'Go, present yourself to Ahab, and I will send rain on the earth.'" That's a big step gone again in a chapter. It says there that, moving on quickly, in the third year, God would send Elijah and the rain would come back. Next one is 1 Kings 18, verse 41 to 45. Well, I'll not read that again because I've just read it. It's where Elijah, when the rain is ready to come, when Elijah's on his knees and he sends his servant to go and look and see if he can see the rain coming. How big was the cloud when it first appeared? Debatable, as we said, but it was just a tiny speck in the distance. You held your hand up, you could cover it. So, as we said, it depends how far away that was. But it could easily be covered by a man's hand. 3 years, no clouds. You need clouds for rain. Then, all of a sudden, the smallest cloud that you've ever seen by itself, probably something a little bit like that, obviously not that landscape, but just one cloud by itself in the distance. Doesn't look anything, does it? Doesn't mean rain's coming. And then, that rain, that cloud just developed into the most thunderous black cloud ever, and it absolutely lashed it down with rain. Elijah and all Israel were waiting for the promised rain, weren't they? The cloud of promise. And when it did come, it caused floods in the desert. And if you look at the next picture, you'll see sort of what floods in the desert do. It might actually put you on, Stuart. And the next one. It actually just washes, the sand away, because it's sort of there's not much plantation there, and heavy rains in the desert sort of can cause proper floods. That's what was going off. So, very quickly, what relevance does this have for us today? It's a story which happened thousands of years ago. What can we make of this? What could apply to our lives? Well, maybe you or me as individuals have been given a promise or promises from God which have not yet been fulfilled, then this incident gives us some good pointers on what we could do while we're waiting for that to come to pass. First of all, in verse 42, it says, "So Ahab went up to eat and drink, and Elijah went to the top of Mount Carmel. Then he bowed down on the ground and put his face between his legs." I'm not saying you should all get on the floor and put your face between your legs, because that could be a bit awkward, but first thing he did was he committed himself. He became humble before God and he became obedient, didn't he? He did as God told him. He bowed down and he prayed and humbled himself. The main point here is that he didn't demand from God. He didn't say, "Right, God, it's time for rain. You said it will come in." He got down on his knees, humbly, and ask God for rain and God to bring the rains. This is an example for us of how we wait for the cloud of promise to appear. We cannot demand of God. We have to bow and humbly wait and be obedient until the time is right, and then the cloud will come. Second thing, verse 43 and 44, and he said to his servant, "Go and have a look." And he said, went up and looked and said, "There's nothing." And then after seven times, he went and he said, "There's a cloud the size of a man's hands." It took seven times for Elijah to pray. Did it need to be that many times? God had said he was going to do it. Why didn't God just do it the first time Elijah prayed? I don't know. But seven is sort of a popular number for things to be done in the Bible, isn't it? Give it to that it needed to be seven times. Maybe there it was that Elijah needed to persist in his prayers. Elijah prayed not once or twice, but seven times. How many times and how frequently have we prayed for our cloud of promise to appear? Have we prayed for it once and then forgot it? Have we prayed for it once every year, you know, for two or three years, and then that's how it's gone? Or are we persistent in our prayers? The other thing important here is that not only was Elijah praying, but he was watching, well, through his servant, he's saying, "Go and have a look then, see if anything's happened." Is that a relevant point for us when we're watching for our cloud of promise come in, the thing that God has promised us in our lives? Yeah, we've got to pray, but how will we know if he's answered if we're not watching? So Elijah was persistent in prayer, wasn't he? He didn't give up. Prayed until it was done. In verse 44, "Then it came to pass on the seventh time, the cloud as small as a man's hand was rising from the sea. So he said, 'Go up and say to Ahab, prepare your chariot and go down before the rain stops you.'" I like this one. You probably don't see much in that to start with, but Elijah told Ahab to go and get out of here while he still can. That was faith, wasn't it? Elijah knew that even though that was such a tiny cloud, that what it was bringing was such an awesome thing. What started really small was going to be something very big. You know, and he knew that God was sending the storm that Ahab, if he didn't get, that he wasn't going to be able to because there was going to be that much rain. And you see by verse 45, if we read it again, that it was actually banging it down with rain, black clouds, thunder and wind within a very short space of time. Thing that we need to remember tonight is that God always keeps his promises, no matter how long it takes. No little promise that is put in your heart, maybe it's a tiny cloud or you can't see it or whatever, but God always keeps his promises, doesn't he? You can rely on that. Think about the things that God has promised you. Look at them in your mind. Is there no sign of that thing coming to pass? Which, how would you put it in this category? Is there the tiniest cloud in the distance, you know, a tiny speck of hope? Or you can see something is starting to move, starting to happen. That's the start of something big. If there's no sight of anything, then we have to take Elijah's example, don't we? We have to pray and we have to watch and we have to humble ourselves before God. It's not only as individuals, but as a church, we see things that we want to happen, don't we? Watch maybe just tiny specks or even nothing. But the principles applies the same, don't it? Pray and watch. And humble ourselves. If there's the tiniest cloud, then it's the start of something big, and we've got to believe that, haven't we? You know, when the tiniest thing starts to happen, God doesn't always go boom and everything happens. You know, something starts small like this cloud. We've got to have faith in God, and the floods of promise will come in God's time. What I want to ask you tonight is there unfulfilled promises in our lives? You know, is there something that we've been waiting for and watching for and it's not fulfilled yet? All I'm saying that is keep your eyes on, fixed on God, watch and wait and pray and humble ourselves, you know, and he will do it in his time. Amen.
you, Mark. As Mark said, part of the answer is first of all being humble before God. We don't demand, we request. God fulfills. As we stay faithful to his promises, he fulfills his promises to us. Give us that downpour, Lord, by your Spirit. Amen.